walking. I don't want to slip it and slide. That's for sure. I heard about some bad ones in Pennsylvania, and I saw some pictures of a guy that it's unbelievable how he's still alive. It was on I-84 out in Oregon, and he was out by himself. I think he was in a pickup truck. It was icing conditions. It was snowy and foggy and dark, just bad visibility. And it ended up being a big accident, and he got squished between two tractor trailers, actually the trailer parts. There was like maybe 3 feet of space between them. His vehicle was completely squashed. And there's a picture of him peeking out from inside. He just too bad. That was the extent of attention that he received at the scene. And the rescue crew still cannot believe that he was, one, still alive, and two, not more seriously.
Yeah, I didn't see this one, this specific one, but the sound from what they're telling me is a bad one. They show some bad, really bad accident, but not too much fatalities, thank God, at least not too much loss of life. A lot of damage all over, and what can you do? Okay, Situarchy, back to you, Richard.
KTUPS Mobile. It doesn't take too much to have really bad things happen really fast out here. So, there have been a couple of bad ones in New York, Connecticut, Pennsylvania, going out into Chicago. Got detoured around one, I think either 2 weeks ago maybe. They sent me an extra 100 miles to go around this thing because they had I-80 shut down. So it wasn't too bad. I mean, they paid me for the mileage, but it cut into my waiting time in Chicago. But, better than sitting there.
I'm sure you're better off moving than waiting. Anyway, Richie, great talking to you. That's my short cameo show here in the morning. I got to go, so I'll say 7-3. I'll listen out to a quick final. I'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, Ben, have a good day at work. I'm glad you're back home in the States. We'll see you soon.
K2UPS. It's usually I'm here every morning, but again, for a very short time, like 10, 15 minutes, and then I leave. I go to my breakfast and my work. So I'm glad I got you today. Okay, have a great day. Drive safely. 73, K2UPS will be clear.
Tomorrow morning we'll have a bagel breakfast for everybody.
people what a real bagel is. Copy that.
You also get some blocks and some cream cheese. Do it upright.
I have to compromise. I got lox spread. The lox is a bit expensive. I spent $30 on bagels and cream cheese so far. Lox would have put me over my budget. But I got lox spread as a compromise.
I would have suggested, Mike, lox spread. Yeah, good Nova is expensive. Lox spread's good. You smash it on a bagel and you go down the road.
Exactly, and the guys from the down south have absolutely no idea how to have a bagel. I wanted to bring them some half sour pickles. They didn't have any, they ran out. And I was going to give them the full experience, but you can't have everything, Al.
They have what beaches, yes, in the department. They have half sour pickles, lox spread, and they also have bagels. But that's good. That's good. Just what I want to mention. I'm thinking of something here. Let me think a second.
Would you be juicy, I see.
Steven?
Good morning. Hey, Mike, if you're taking the expressway till at least to Cross Island, you can stop at Fairway and pick up something, too.
Thank you, thank you. My usual plan, the way I drive, is I see presents to the Cross Island. I already had my breakfast. I just ate a few minutes ago with my wife. And like I said, I bring back vegetables and lox spread and stuff. So that my Virginia top to New York experience breakfast.
Well, your wife would probably like Fairway too. Anyway. Yeah, they've got a variety there, and they're right off the Cross Island.
Copy. Thank you. Yes, I appreciate it. I want to make as few stops as humanly possible. My GPS tells me I'll be there at 1 o'clock. So figure 2 then, reality. And that stuff I've got to do. I got to get ready for work tomorrow morning.
A little softer, Mike. It sounds like you're bouncing out of the slot.
Yeah, for some reason the repeater is noisy today. Yesterday it was just fine. And also down here in Rosa, it's also a little noisy.
Deviation. Steve, what's it sound like to you? It sounds like the voice peaks are clipping them.
I honestly can't tell you. There's too many factors involved here. It could be one of several things, and that being one of them.
This morning, the repeater is noisy compared to the way it was yesterday and the day before.
Okay, because I hear a little bit of a... It sounds like you're over deviating, but the repeater there is a very critical lady. There's some things you throw at it doesn't like.
What can I tell you guys? What can I tell you guys? So Hal, when I do get down to Virginia, I'll give you a phone call on your cell, wherever you might be. You got a piece of paper and a pencil, I'll give you my address down there.
Excuse me, I'll be right back. WB2ZSE.
WB2ZSE, KD2MZ. Did you copy that, Hal? As soon as I get to Virginia and I kind of settle in a little bit, I'll give you a phone call, I'll give you my address.
No problem, Mike. I'll put it on a UPS label, and then I'll stop the label on the box, and it'll be au revoir. No sweat on that, Mike. Yeah, try out what I mentioned, though, about the counterpoise thing and also hanging off the end of the antenna, a wire going down. And I think you're going to see a difference in the signal strength. I really do.
Sorry, Al. It's my wife calling me. She finished running her errand.
Got her on the phone?
I got one of those, push the button on the steering column and I can talk like a human being. Total hands-free.
I got the same too, Blue Business Card. Now they're crazy here in New York, man. You hold a phone. Even sometimes an amateur microphone, somebody can give you a hard time. Never been stopped though, in only over 50 some odd years, almost 60 years. Ham radio at 15, 16 years old, I was mobile to start with. So I don't know. Maybe my time is coming for
he pulled over and said, "What are you doing there talking on the microphone?" Go ahead, Mike.
Might have to be the same thing you're doing.
Yeah, and I don't want to really, I like using the mic. And, you know, think about it. Using a mic, shifting gears. luckily, I could do a little bit of multitasking. But my first priorities were in front of me. Everything else doesn't matter. I can talk, but I'm running two segments. My mind works on one track, and my eyes work on another.
Oh, I can tell you right from my personal experience. When I'm on a cell phone, my brain turns off completely. It just totally shuts down. When I'm using a hands-free, I only lose about a quarter of my brain. When I'm using a handheld microphone, my ham radio, my brain is operating at 100%. It makes no sense to me, but just the way it works.
Yeah, well, basically, I prioritize. And it works. I'm so used to, you know, the aircraft, you having a sectional map. There were all five fingers in the plane and trying to keep everything together to keep it in the air.
Yeah, well, you know, just something about a cell phone, your brain turns off. I don't know. But anyways, yeah, so I'm definitely going to do what you told me there, Hal, when I get a chance. Maybe later on this evening, maybe tomorrow, maybe over the weekend. I don't know, when I have a spare moment. My main goal is to get back here in one piece and go to work. But yeah, oh, I am definitely going to be doing that, no question about it. And last night, I was able to make both of my nets, my Roger net it's called, every night, 3.833, 7 o'clock for an hour. And I was also able to talk to my buddy for an hour down in Chambersburg. So it worked out well.
When you say the Roger net, I just thinking back, I was never a CBer.
Well, the Roger net's been around for about 30 years, so it's... there's a history behind it, and I think the guy who started it, his name happened to be Roger or something like that.
Beatles used to have something called a Roger tone, a Roger beep. When you said the Roger net, I was thinking about the CBs that had this Roger beep coming on their CB set when they went on. Even though I wasn't a CB, I remember I fixed a few radios for some of these characters. And they wanted to put in a Roger beep. Yeah, well, that's pretty good. You're able to get in on your nets. I missed my net on Sunday morning. I was still tied up. You know, I was at the place. Normally, I don't go in Richmond Hill Sunday, but I try to get the backlog done. And I missed the net. I couldn't run out. It was so icy. I didn't want to take a chance on running back to the car or anything to get on 75.
Well, you made the absolute right choice. Yesterday, the weather was horrendous. Between the ice, the rain, and the fog.
The rain I could handle. The fog, I go a little slower. But when you slip on your tail on ice you can't see, that is scary.
Yeah, but you take the ice and the fog and the rain and the dark at night, you put it all together. Oh, you got a bad situation.
Well, about 6:30 from Richmond Hill last night, and I had to watch pretty close. And I saw some people on Sunrise Highway. I thought they were the Tony.
Copy. Yep. All I can say is, Hal, it was a bad night. I'm glad today is just a little bit chilly. Actually, it's 37 degrees. It's actually kind of nice. Possible black ice, reduced speed ahead. Oh, it's those overhead signs. Those be from last night still on.
39 degrees over here on Sunrise. And it's supposed to maybe go a little higher. The guys have to pull down an antenna in one location and then put an antenna up hopefully in another location. Yesterday the guys were working outside. I had to splice in my feed lines. And I have a box outside. Box outside where the feed lines all meet before they come into another termination area in the house before they go up to the ham room. So the guys were soldering PL-259s outside. I told them, you know, wait off, it's not that important. They said they want to see the circus fly.
All right, well, you gotta do what you gotta do. Excuse me. But yeah, I'm just looking forward to going home.
Home, so to speak. I hate this drive. I absolutely dread this drive.
I know, Mike. Look, I go down to see my daughter. I had to do the drive in one day when the Mini died out of Maryland. When they got it done, I had to drive down 250 miles down to Maryland, get the car, and then come back in snow driving back. And I was going solo. And it was special. I used to, many years ago, I put 900 miles or 1,000 miles a day going cross country. But when you get older, you just don't have that endurance.
Oh, absolutely, Hal. I absolutely know what you're saying, where you're coming from. No question about that one. I just hate this drive. I really don't like doing it at night. I try to plan my trip so I can drive during the daylight so I can see where I'm going. My eyesight isn't what it used to be.
Mike, your eyesight isn't what it used to be? When I talk to you sometime, I'll tell you about mine.
You got a couple of years on me, though. But, hey, listen, you know, it is what it is. That's called life.
I wish the signpost should be written in Braille.
Yeah, well, I guess we don't have the car that drives itself yet. Actually, we do, but... but I guess I want to look forward. I definitely want to try your tricks. And when you come down, Hal, hopefully it'll be soon. I really want you to look at my station, and I really want your opinion of what I could do with what I got to work with. Because remember, Hal, I got very, very limited resources.
I understand, Mike. You know, if you'd have reminded me before I saw you, I would have given you what I have copper wire that you could have used for the extended part of your antenna. I think it was about number 18 or 20. You know, it had plastic insulation on it. But it would have worked out pretty well for your added bit of antenna you want to put at the end. By the counterpoint thing, you know what to do. 3-pin plug, and do what we talked about.
Problem about it, I got it all set up and ready to roll. Actually, I got spare plugs and all kinds of stuff like that. And what I'm going to go do is there's a Radio Shack. Actually, they're all going out of business, but this one's already been going out of business for about a month. And I'm sure they still have wire there. So maybe I'll just pick up a roll of, like, black or something like that. I don't know. Whatever they got, 18-gauge. Well, whatever they happen to have. And I'll go to that Radio Shack. And besides, I do have the, we refer to it as the candy store down there. About 10 minutes from my house.
Oh, wait. No, you're not near an amateur radio place down there, are you?
Yes, I am. HRO. It's only about 10 minutes drive from my apartment.
Oh, wait a minute. They have one in Delaware. And that's one that's down in Virginia?
Yeah, in Woodbridge.
Okay, I didn't realize there was one. Yeah, now you mentioned it. Yeah, the boys in Delaware I know very well. Yeah, they would have whatever you need. Yeah, I know HR very well. Yeah, so you can get what you need. You know, there's no problem on that. But you'll do all right. You know, there's many ways to get radiation into the, as they say, the ether. And what you should do, Mike, though, if you have a few parts, build yourself a field strength meter. I'll tell you why. You take a field strength meter, you put it a distance away from where your station is, and by adding the different things I mentioned, you could see if your field strength basically is increased.
What ahead of you, Hal? I have a field strength meter, and I do use it as a reference.
So take a reference point before you do what I mentioned, and then see what the difference is in your field strength after you make the change.
Exactly. Now, I had a field strength meter. I use it all the time. Excuse me, Hal. I use it all the time for a reference. You know, I actually know if I'm putting something out.
You got to keep it far enough away, though. You want to have it far enough away as you can get it. So then you're really looking at a true field strength of radiation too close doesn't give you a real good reference if you're looking at a specific radiation point on the antenna system.
Well, my problem is distance. I don't have much distance to play with, so what I do is I just turn the gain of it down. I do the best I can of what I got. I take the little antenna, I might have it down halfway, three quarters down, so I can get a reasonable difference, because if I have everything up, full out, full everything, it's going to pin the meter, and I'm going to get no real reference, if you understand what I'm trying to say, Hal.
What you do, take the field shift meter. Do you have one room there, or is it two bedroom? Or do you have more than one room?
Tom, I didn't copy that, Hal.
More than one room.
I could, then I just have to just take my receiver, key it up, put a rubber band around the mic, put it in CW mode, and just, put out a quick burst or something like that, Take my transmitter, put it down to maybe about 5 watts so I'm not blasting the hell out of it.
What room apartment do you have, Mike?
What kind of apartment do I have? Was that the question?
Is it two room, one room, how many rooms?
It's a one bedroom, and I got a living room, bathroom, kitchen. So I can actually probably go into the other room, if down, but it's just like I say, keying up my machine. I'll have to key it up with a rubber band on a mic.
What you do, you turn your field strength meter up to maximum. Bring your power down on the transmitter. Most it will go. And bring the field strength meter as far out as you can into the head, the kitchen, wherever you want. So you have a reference reading of maybe half scale or quarter scale for a very low carrier level. Then make your necessary change and look at your carrier level then at the field strength meter.
Be copy, that makes perfect sense. And of course, I would have to do this for all the bands, get a reference for every single band, because it's going to be different for every band.
It'll be different, but you'll see with the counterpoise, your overall radiation will be more. So if you do it on let's say, 40 meters, and you see your reference of radiation higher, you know it's going to be higher on the other bands also, because you're going to be radiating, you're going to resonate your antenna, and you still have the counterpoise to add the effectiveness of the radiation.
Be copy. Yeah, so all I'm going to do is I got some extra cable on because I don't need to make a 25-foot counterpoise wire because my plug is only about 4 or 5 feet from my station there.
Yeah, you're close. You shouldn't have a problem. No, many years ago was involved on the West Coast doing pattern work. And you'd normally think what they would do is you would, take a set, this was setting on helicopters. They were putting antennas on for transmitters. And what they did, they put the UE on a stand that rotated, and then they had the field strength room all the way downfield. This is a good sized area to use aircraft. And you didn't have to turn, go around the UE physically. They just took the UE, it was on this platter, and they turned the aircraft, and they got their field intensity measurement of where the antenna was mounted on the aircraft, how effective it was for an omnidirectional situation.
That makes perfect sense. I mean, why not? Why walk when you can take the whole UE and spin it around? That's cool, man. That's cool. And besides, Hal, I look at it this way. If we look back in history, back in World War II when you had the French resistance guys, they were able to do their thing and communicate with London with these crazy black boot guys running around who, let's face it, Hal, were not the nicest guys in the world, if you follow what I mean.
Yeah, the underground and everything. And simple transceiver, CW transceivers, going back to getting information back to London. No, I know exactly what you mean. A matter of fact, I got one of those type of transceivers that's upgraded. It's sideband, but it's all in a suitcase.
Exactly. So I look at it this way, Hal. I got a 21st century electronics, And if I can't do what they did 75 years ago, you know, with these real bad guys, you know, a.k.a. the Gestapo and SS running around, I think I could better than they can, or did.
Let me see pictures of the good old boys running around with their truck with a loop antenna trying to nail the underground.
Nothing for nothing, as if you've ever been on a box hunt before, it's not that easy to find someone like that, but it's doable.
Yeah, well, at lower frequencies, it could possibly be a little easier than VHF. VHF has sometimes more bounce and so on and so forth, where lower frequencies, you're not looking for the bounce, you're looking for the primary peak. And, you know, they can come in on something pretty well by using a loop, getting two fixes, and then a third fix to verify totally, and then hit the spot very closely.
Absolutely, Hal. Absolutely. No question about it there. But like I said, I really would like you to, when you're down in the neighborhood and when you're visiting your daughter, to definitely stop on by. And, you know, I want to show you my setup, and I'll take you out, have a cup of coffee or whatever, you know. And if you want to, I'll take you to a trip on base, because it is an open base. You know, I can do that. You know, well, whatever. You know, it'd be nice when you do come down, though.
Hi, Mark. I just need to take you up on that. You know my agenda right now. I'm running around like a wheeling dervish with everything going on. I got to get level a little bit. But no, seriously, Mike, I will take you up on it. It's just you got, if you knew all the situations I'm balancing at this moment, I should be checked out of the junk book, not a regular mechanic.
Copy. I understand your life is in total turmoil right now. But maybe by summertime, things will settle down a little bit.
There's a nice little airstrip, not too far from my daughter. And I may, instead of drive down, I may just fly down if everything goes well.
Well, it's an easy flight down to Reagan Airport. LaGuardia to Reagan Airport, 45 minutes. You're there. Easy trip. And if I could make a suggestion, Hal, rather than flying down and make life more difficult, take the train. Go to Penn Station, take the train, get off at the Woodbridge Station, and you're right there. Nobody has to drive down to Reagan to pick you up.
How much is it to take the train? Because I was considering doing that. What does it cost from New York?
You can get a train ticket for maybe about $75, but you got to order about a month in advance. If you order it 2 days before or something, assuming there's a seat, you have reserved seating on the train, about $130, last minute. But if you order a ticket about a month or two in advance, it's about, $75. And no offense, please. I'm sure they have a senior citizen discount. It's very worthwhile. It's an easy trip, and it's a lot easier than flying because you don't have to go way to, you just get on the train at Penn Station, fall asleep, and you wake up in Woodbridge. Real easy trip.
You know, you may have an idea, Mike. That's $75 each way, or it'd be $150 each way, correct?
Did you get discounts? ARP discounts, AAA discounts, they got all kinds of discounts and stuff. But the hassle aspect, it's so easy. It's easy for you to jump on a line, out walk across the terminal in Penn Station, get on a train, and then get off in Woodbridge. Right, you're taking a cab or whatever, to LaGuardia, and then another cab, or somebody pick you up in Reagan, because the Reagan to Woodbridge, about a half hour, 45 minute drive.
If I take the plane from the Republic and then land at Manassas Airport, a little bit farther from Woodbridge, well, Cessna could come in too very easily.
Well, Manassas is not around the corner either. You got about a half hour drive to Manassas if you're going to go there. That's what I'm saying. Really, take a look into a plane track. It's an easy trip, and you can relax the movie. You can lunch. They have the dining bar. It's a very relaxed trip.
You know, I'm right next to the Oceanside Station, so I mean, it's taking an Oceanside train from an Oceanside Long Beach branch right into Penn. I'm going to have to look into this. I was, you know, considering it because, you know, the driving, I do it, but, you know, but I'm really thinking about the train. I haven't done it. Would you believe I've never been on the Long Island Railroad 30-some-odd years that I've been here?
Well, I can't say if I spent many years on the railroad, but seriously, how my wife, when she comes down to visit me, she's like, take the train quick. She said it two times. She said it's real, you know, comfortable, easy trip. So, I mean, I would highly recommend it. It's not that much more expensive than a plane, really, but the convenience factor, it's like, yeah, you jump on the, you know, Long Beach branch, you get into Penn Station, you walk across the terminal, the track, and get off the train and get off the Woodbridge. This way, there's absolutely no hassle whatsoever.
That'd be a Scylla train. You know, I'm not familiar with the trains. That's why I have to look into it. So you basically, you don't have to go into Jersey. You go right to the Penn Station, and it takes you right down to Virginia. So is that what you're saying?
Pal, that is exactly what I'm saying. All you got to do is pick the railroad and get on track. Penn State.
Interesting. So taking the train, when the discounts involved, may just run me about a buck round trip.
Yeah, that would be reasonable. I got to go on or call track, and they'll tell you everything. It's just an easy, easy trip. Much less hassle. You don't have to go through security. You don't have to take your pants off at the airport. You don't have to do any of that stuff. So it's an easy, easy trip. Remember, you leave 2 or 3 hours just to get through security at the airport. Here, you just get up and ready.
Well, Mike, I won't fly commercial. If I flew, I'd take my own Cessna down. No security. Once I get in the Republic, everything's checked over. Within 45 minutes, I'd be airborne.
But how many of you don't want to wrestle in the old block? You want to just sit back, relax, close your eyes, catch a disease? The train is the way to go.
We're going to have to talk about that more over the phone. That's interesting because, yeah, you're right. The driving, it gets a little tenuous. Let me pull in here, Mike. I'm going to grab a fast sandwich before I hit Richmond Hill. So I will catch you later, and definitely you'll give me a ring. I'll get the necessary information through a label, and you'll have a toy. And I'm happy I was able to get that adapter cable. That just came out of nowhere, thanks to thanks to Radio Shack. It's a beautiful cable. It's one end with the quarter-inch differentially plugged-in coil cord. I'll split the other end to a PJ-068 or a standard quarter-inch. So I can punch it right in to the audio panel of the plane.
See, Hal, how well things can work out? I'm glad it worked out for you. Like I told you before, Hal, when I saw that thing, I said, had your name written on. That's why I grabbed it, that's why I called you right away. Because, like I said, it had your name written on. And now it's not about to go destroy it because it's too valuable the way it is. Anyways, Hal, let me give you 73, and we'll give you a call later on this afternoon. Get something in Woodbridge, KC2AMZ. I'll be great. Have a good one, Hal.
2AMZ, K6DPC. Okay, Mike, drive careful. Talk to you later. K6DPC, clear.
Give me a second to turn the other radio down. Hello?
WB2ZSE.
Hello, hello. You going to be in Mineola today?
No, I just left Westbury. I'm heading into the office. I didn't have any plans for it. Why, you need something?
I just wanted to check something, but no big deal. It's not important.
I'll tell you what, if I head out there, I'll give you a ring on the telly.
If you're calling this stuff, you're planning on it, just let me know. Okay. Yeah, that's it. I got some other stuff I gotta do today, too.
Go visit Bernard.
Yeah, I gotta go up there and get the repeater.
I didn't understand what you were talking about with somebody else.
I'll call on the phone. There's another guy interested, too. The other one.
Yeah, I think the other one he had was also a VHF.
Yeah, the UHF is gone. I gotta see if I can find the one. But they're pretty easy to find. Yeah, it's like, you know, all the ones that are going to be going out of service, the ones we're working on, who knows what they're going to be doing with them.
Well, the requirement is narrowband as of January 2013. So, they supposedly should have been replaced or upgraded.
And that's what we're doing. So the old stuff, who knows what we'll do with it.
What are you talking about?
We're replacing the accessories with what we're putting in. So the old ones will have to, they're going to figure out what they're going to do with them.
No, I didn't know they had any master trees.
Quite a few. Yeah, they started working on that a few years ago. Because they have master twos, and then they put master threes in. So then, and they have master twos and master threes together in the same cabinet. So now we're going to get rid of everything and put the new stuff in. So master twos, they don't care. Master threes, yes. There's a market for that.
Yeah, actually, I knew they had a few of them, but they were all narrowbandable. No, you just program it that way.
Yeah, but they're not going to use it. They're not using anything in the cabinet. No duplexer. It's a duplexer combiner is what I meant to say. It's not just a standalone duplexer. And that's what we're replacing now with that. Combination duplexer combiner. And, what else? I need master threes, master twos, that's coming out, and everything else. And, of course, the shelf, the card shelf also. Because everything is, all new.
Yeah, they had a couple of digital capable stations, the ones with the two ports on the front.
Right. In fact, the first one, I remember when they put the first one in, the very first one, and it was in the south part of Manhattan.
Oh, yeah, I know. I worked on that one with, what the heck is that engineer? I can't remember his name. In fact, we put a P-25 card in there for him to try. And, nothing ever came of it, of course.
Yeah, and this stuff is P-25 capable. You can switch between both. So, that's a plus. In case they want to do that, it's there.
Yeah, well, that's the way this one was. It would, what goes in goes out. So if you went in analog, you went out analog. If you went in P-25, you went out P-25. It was, phase one.
Yes. Yeah, very good. I gotta I got computer stuff to do anyway. No field work. Tomorrow I gotta be in the field, so I'll be busy tomorrow. But today, I didn't have much to do in the office. Except for computer stuff, but I'll do it here.
We would also imagine a holiday would slow things down, too. WB2CSE.
At least the roads are better. Not like yesterday. I didn't go out at all yesterday. Did not even attempt to, especially in the morning. So I saw on the news what was going on.
Yeah, I think it was a little warmer out by me because actually I had more problems this morning than I had yesterday morning.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. Well, I'm looking forward to the warmer weather. I keep saying that. It'll get here.
Yep. Eventually. It always does.
All right, I'm gonna go. So, if you're around, call me later. But don't go out of your way.
Don't worry, I won't.
Okay, see you later. So, I'm in CDL. I'm gonna go back to what I was doing.
I'll see you later. WB2ZSE.
the WQVL amateur radio repeater system.